Today we're going to talk about servanthood. So we return again this morning to the 2024 message. For there's still much for us to draw from that message. We must never forget, church, that in giving us His message for the year, the Lord dispenses grace to us to be able to apply what He gave to us so that we can live out what He has said, this is what's going to be happening, or this is an expectation. He will empower us to do what He's called us to do. One of the major themes in the 2024 message is the issue of servanthood. But let me quote from the 2024 message. In this year of 2024, you will have many opportunities for service. Joshua, the servant of Moses, provides you with precious insight in what it means to truly be a servant. For 38 years, he served Moses continually, doing the most menial of tasks with a humble heart, never seeking attention, approval, or position. The position of servant is rarely sought after, but highly prized by the Father. A little bit later in the message, the Lord said, servanthood is one of the highest offices any disciple can attain. Our American minds, you have to admit, are not easily tuned to the office or the position of a servant. If you were to ask someone what they do for a living, you don't expect anybody to say, I'm a servant, particularly in America. You would not really hear that. So the concept of a servant typically implies a demeaning or some kind of inferior occupation. Yet in the kingdom of God, the servant is more highly esteemed than any other profession. That's a mouthful within itself. Being addressed as doctor or as senator, lawyer, Indian chief, or even president of the United States is far less significant than being recognized in the kingdom of God as a servant. The Lord would honor your having been a servant more than any title I just gave. In fact, listen carefully. Your profession is secondary to your disposition. Now, what do I mean by that? By your temperament, by your nature, by your character. In other words, what you do is secondary to how you do it. Now, a lot of people, even though we all sit here and can bob our heads up and down and say yes, but the truth of the matter is most of us would have a hard time with that. You know, and if we don't keep it real, as my brother just said, you're going to miss the whole point of this today. And it has a depth to it that's not anybody in here doesn't need to hear. I heard it first, and I was laid out with it, I'm here to tell you. It really hit me. So doctors and nurses and attorneys and teachers, high-tech engineers, and the lowly street sweeper all have one thing in common from God's point of view. The call. Amen. Not to a worldly profession with its perks and all of its promises, but the call to live as a servant to the Lord and to His people. Amen. No matter what your profession might be. That's right. I don't care how you esteem yourself. Amen. So your job or your profession is simply a vehicle by which you have the opportunity to serve others. That's right. Now, very few of us take that seriously. We think if we could have a title or a position, per se, of what the world calls a position, that we could do so much more for the kingdom of God. Now, I can say that pretty bluntly through these now, at the end of this next month, 40 years. There's been many a person who has come through here, and they pretended to be servants. All I want to do is serve. And that's wonderful. And then when you start pointing out menial things that need to be done, they fade away, or they come to offer, well, my calling is pulpit ministry, or my calling is thus and so. That's really not my calling. So right there with that statement tells us where we are. Just right there. It says that we think that certain callings are higher than other callings, because that's what we've done with things. So your job or your profession is simply a vehicle by which you have the opportunity to serve others. You're a garbage collector. You have an opportunity to serve and to do it with the absolutely best of your ability. Yes. Yes. Jesus made that very clear when the mother of James and John, as you remember, asked the Lord to give her sons important positions in his kingdom. And you remember the other 10 disciples got kind of indignant about all of it, as we look at Matthew 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup of suffering, the cup that I'm about to drink?" They said to him, "We're able. We got this thing." Then he said to them, "My cup you shall drink." "Oh, yeah, you go drink it, all right. But to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give. But it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Why did the 10 become indignant? I think it's very simple. They hadn't thought about asking at first. I think the other two got ahead of them. That's usually the way it is, isn't it? Any of them had yet to learn that the Spirit of Jesus is not to be served, but to serve. You see, church, servanthood is a divine and eternal principle, listen carefully, that began with God himself in eternity past. Servanthood, then, is the very nature of who God is. So we could put it this way. Our Father God was the very first servant. I doubt very seriously very many people thought of that. He created the world so that you and I would have a lovely place to live and learn to know him. That was serving you. He created for you before there was a you. So he was serving us in creation. He was preparing for us, helping us. He was serving us. In those earliest of days, before he even created a single human being, God was already providing all we would need in order to become members of his family. He was being a servant. He was working it out for you, planning it for you. So, as I said earlier, he served us before he made us. Wow. We could put it this way. He was taking care of your needs before you even knew you had a need.
Amen.
That's right.
That's what servants do. In chapter 1 of Genesis, he put everything in place there so that it would be ready for you. He created the sun, the moon, the seas and the rivers, the plants for food and flowers for beauty. Created everything. He didn't need them.
Right. That's right.
You're the one that were coming.
Right.
He prepared everything you would need before Adam was even formed. He got it all in place, called everything, put it in, so man would have a lovely, wonderful place to live before there even was a man. And the word says that his mercies are new every morning. Now, what in the world does that mean? Every morning, your Heavenly Father serves or dispenses to you and to me fresh and new provisions just for that day.
Amen.
Every day, he serves you a new plate.
Wow.
Glory.
Amen.
Throws the old one away. Every day. New provisions, new ways to conquer, new ways to overcome, every single day. Now, in dispensing his grace, he's serving you.
Amen.
And protecting you from harm. God is serving you. And speaking to you through his word, he's serving you.
Right.
Teaching you what you do not know so that your knowledge of him will increase.
Right.
Your heavenly Father is a servant. And who is he serving? You. And beyond all of that, God's greatest act of service toward us was sending his beloved son Jesus to this earth. We couldn't get back to him. So he served his son as a road, as a method, as a way for you and I to get back to him. So therefore, church, embracing the position of a servant is one of the most God-like things that you can do. For by it, you are following the very pattern of God himself, who is the eternal servant. Now, you and I need to ask ourselves, am I serving others like Joshua served Moses? Willing to do the most menial of tasks. This is the secret here. With a humble heart. Never seeking attention, approval, or position. I doubt there's hardly anybody in you who's done it that way. Am I willing to serve others without being thanked or praised for what I've done? Am I able to serve without feeling used or unappreciated? Do I do all things for the glory of God without fault to self? Am I willing to serve my brothers and sisters as I would serve him? We all have that choice, church. And what we decide, the decision we make, will affect every single area of your life. If Jesus is truly Master and Lord, We will serve each other willingly and joyfully, knowing that what we do for even the least of our brethren, Jesus accepts it as if we have done it unto him. So can our love for the Word, our love for the Lord, overcome our culture? Are we willing to be a totally new generation, a totally new group of people, not who I used to be, a new order of beings made in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe we should not get caught up in cultures, and we should move into who we now are. We're new people. We don't belong, no matter how much you might try to fit in, we don't belong to this world. We're truly just passing through.